Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you will find about a third of the way down from the top of Daf Ayin Ches. Before we begin the Mishnah, we glance at the side in the margin where we have a topic heading, which reads, HaSoicher es HaChamor LeHolicho Bahar VeHolichoi BeBikah. One rented someone's donkey with the understanding that he would work with it, walk with it. Bahar means in a mountainous area. And instead, he drove the donkey BeBikah, in a valley. The change in location can influence the well-being of the animal. In this case, you can see that the one who rented the animal deviated from the terms of the rental. The Gemara, the Mishnah. Hasuchas chamor lolicho bahar. You hired or rented out, you rented a donkey with the understanding that you would walk with it on the mountain. V'holicho b'bikah. And instead, you changed from the terms and you walked with it in a bikah, a valley, a low-lying area. Bikah is an area that's low-lying, surrounded by mountains. B'bikah, you hired it for a bikah area, the holicho bahar, and you deviated from the terms and went with the donkey on the mountain. Afilu zu eser milin vizu eser milin. Even if the length of the journey is the same, in other words, you deviated location wise, but not in terms of distance. Umesa, and the animal died. Chayov, so one. The renter has to compensate. Hasoches hachamor l'holicho bahar v'holicho b'bikah. One hired a donkey for walking on a mountain, and he didn't do so. He walked with it in a bikah. Im hechliko poter. If the animal's death was a result of slipping, so he would be exempt from having to compensate. As opposed to the ratio, which we didn't elaborate on, but the Gemara will touch on this, the different areas, you have different climactic conditions. And if the death of the animal is not a result of a climactic factor, but rather, in this case, it slipped, and the animal was hired to walk on the mountain where slippage is more likely, and you walked with it in a bikah, which is a safer area vis-a-vis slippage, and it slipped anyway, you would be exempt. V'im huchamo chayav. If the animal's death was because of overheating, then the renter bears responsibility. L'holicha b'bikah v'holicha bahar. If the agreement was that you would walk with it in the bikah, and you walked with the animal on the mountain. Im hichlika chayav. If it slipped, so then the renter is chayav, because it was understood that it would have been safer for the animal to walk in a bikah where slippage is less likely. And you, rent as the renter, took it to a more slippery area, and it slipped, so you would bear responsibility. You must compensate. If it overheated on the mountain, which is fairly unlikely, but it did. That's what happened. You had hired it for walking in a hot area where there's little air circulation, and you deviated and took it on the mountain, and it died from overheating. Potter, you would be exempt. In machmas mala, if it died from mala means to increase altitude, to go higher up. Rashi says in machmas mala huchma ba'aloisa me regular halarosho. If the huchama, the overheating took place because of the walking up, the going up from the base of the mountain, then it's not an environmental reason for its death, but it's because of the mountain, so to speak, because you rose upwards on the mountain. And the original terms were for you to work with the donkey in the bika. Hasuchas hamor vivrika oshinasis angaria. You rented a donkey, vivrika. And the Gemara will explain that expression. Or it was taken by the king's work forces. That's angaria. Omer lo, the owner of the animal, says to the renter, I have no further obligations toward you. Hare shelchol lefanecha. There is the animal. Take it as it is. Rashi says, Hare shelchol lefanecha. Tle, talenu, take it. Kamoshihi. Now he uses the word smuya here. We didn't explain the word hivrika before, but Rashi is revealing that this is one of the explanations that it became blind. Take the animal as it is, in its blind state, v'telich, and walk with it. Sh'af mazol chagoram kamo mazoli. Your bad luck is just as much a cause as my bad luck. V'torach v'yasher oisa bedrochim, and you have to, the animal still walks, it can still bear burdens, you just have to trouble yourself to make sure it walks and stays on the path, because it's now blind. V'gabi angaria nami, and regarding the animal being confiscated by the king's workforces, hamtein ad shetoshuv, wait till they come back. Sha'af mazol chagoram v'nafsid shneinu, your bad luck also is responsible, and let us both suffer the loss. So now we go back to the Mishnah. Meisa'o nishbara, if the donkey died or broke a bone, Chayav Lahamid Lo Chamor. The owner has to replace the animal. There's a Rashi, Chayav. The Rashi we're looking at is in the fifth line under the Gemara text. Chayav Amaskir Limko Or Vanevela Leklovim. The owner of the animal has to sell it. Now the animal's dead, so he has to sell it for its skin value and its meat value for dogs. Lahoisif mois, and add money. Lahamid lo chamor, and present to the customer and as replacement donkey. O yisko lo acher b'demei nevela sherei chamor ze shibed lo. Or let the owner hire, rent another donkey and present it to his customer, to the renter, because the owner had bound the rented donkey to the customer. Or give him back his money. Now the Gemara. My Shna Resha, the Roman numeral 1 that you see here, corresponds to the number 1 you see in the Mishnah, at the beginning of the Mishnah. What is different about the resha, the lo kom maflig, that makes no distinction between huch lika and huchama? The resha speaks about simply a change of location or a deviation from the original contract by way of location change. Umayshno seifa de kom maflig. When you come to the second part of the Mishnah, a Roman numeral number 2, you see similarly l'olicha b'har v'olicha b'pika. However, there, and a besides location change, also phenomenon change is alluded to as well. A distinction between hichlika versus huchama. Why the difference? Why in the resha, where location change appears, no distinction is made between hichlika and huchama? And in the seifa, where again there appears location change, but additionally a distinction is made between huchlika, slipping, and huchama, overheating. In order to answer this, we have several approaches, and they're highlighted with a double underline series marking on the side of the Gemara in the margin, nosei, the topic slash mivne structure. We indicate four hesberim. Loma bereisha de mishnah seinu ein chiluk bein hichlika luhuchama. Why in the reisha do you not find that distinction? So, number one, in the Gemara, Amri debei Rav Yanai. It was said in the yeshiva of Rav Yanai, Reisha Shemesa Machmas Avir. The Reisha, the animal, died because of the change in climate, not a result of either slipping or the animal overheating. Overheating as a result of efforts, strain, but rather air change. That climactic or environmental change. The Amrinon, we say, as far as the Reisha, the first part of the Mishnah is concerned, Aviro de Har Katla, the Amrinon, Aviro de Biko Katla. If it died on the mountain after, and the mountain representing the deviation, we say it died in that case, it didn't slip, and the animal didn't become overheated, but it was the air of the mountain that killed it. It was, let's say, an animal used to the valley type air, and the mountain air is what killed it. Likewise, if the agreement had been that it's going to travel on the mountain and you brought it to the valley and it died there, we say it was the air of the valley that that overcame the animal, to which the animal eventually succumbed. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Omar, a second approach. Regarding the Reisha, Kagon Shemesa Machmas Uvtsna. In the Reisha, the animal died as a result of Uvtsna. Rashi says, Ayefut, fatigue, Viagia, strain, Mimasa, from the burden. And Rashi now elaborates. Halicha Bahar, if the renter took the animal on the mountain, which represents the shinui, the change, Yochol Lomalo, the owner can claim, Ayefus Hamalish also the Rosh Ahar, Ha'il La, Mitchila, the fatigue as a result of going up the mountain had its influence on it at the outset. Al kain ayefa lo liachar zman. Therefore, after a while, it became fatigued. Kishahocha b'derech hachaloka v'yoga tachas masam hamesa. Even though the path itself was a smooth path, but the rise in altitude caused the strain, and it died under its burden. V'im shina l'alicha b'bika, and if the change was driving the animal into the valley, in other words, it was a mountain donkey, we'll say, and you took it as a deviation into the bika. Afalpi shelaroinu oisa mezas, even though we didn't see it sweating away, velo hayom cham meod lo marhuchma, nor was it a very hot day to say that the animal became overheated. Yocholomar, the owner can say, though, im hocha bahar, had the animal been taken to where it should have been, the mountain air would have been better for it. That would have been the predominant type air. The nosing bokoyach, and given the animal strength, and I become fatigued under the burden. But in the valley, the air circulation is not the same. V'hi ha'isa chaseras keach v'yogala, and the lack of air circulation diminished the animal's strength, and that's why it died. So both forms of deviation resulted in the fatigue of the animal, as Rashi just explained, which caused its death. Neither a case of slipping or overheating, where the animal itself starts to sweat and overheat in that sense. So that's the second approach to explain the reisha and why no distinction was made, because in the reisha the death was a result of uvtsina. Rabbah, number three, we're back in the Gemara, Amar kegoin shekisha nochash. In the reisha, the animal was bitten by a venomous creature, a snake, and that's why in the reisha you see no reference made to slippage or overheating. Rebbe Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan ha money. The reisha is Rebbe Meir he diomar. This reisha, there's no name in the Mishnah, so he reveals to us that it's authored by Rebbe Meir, whose opinion is kol hamavir al das baal habayis. Anyone who deviates, who changes from the will of the owner. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Nikra Gazlan. He is called a thief. And as a result of gaining that status, i.e. of a thief, you become totally responsible for the animal, no matter what happens to it. In other words, any onus. Onus is a term referring to anything, even that which is beyond your control, that causes the animal's death, you're responsible for. And Rashi adds that the seifa, where we focus on the type of death, or the cause of death, that's Rabbana. That's authored by a different Tana. See, the Mishnah has two different Tanoim that are represented. The Gemara now spends time regarding this question. Hey, Rebbe Meir. Mention was just made that if you deviate from the will of the owner, you're called a thief. Where do we see Rebbe Meir saying that? We're looking now for a source in which Rebbe Meir, that opinion of Rebbe Meir is reflected. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei / Mivneh heading. A triangle is featured. And we also indicate that we have a Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give and take style. You'll notice if you skim down the Gemara, the triangle appears in alternating directions. So with the point facing up, Chipus Achar Imra Shel Rebbe Meir, we're looking for a statement made by Rebbe Meir, de Meira Al Kach, that teaches us, that reveals to us, the Cholamavi Al Das Balabayas Nikro Gazlan, anyone who deviates from the will of the owner is classified as a thief. The inverted triangle represents a dechia, a rejection of our attempt, and we'll explain Rebbe Meir in some different term, in different terms. So now the Gemara, top line, we continue, Ilema, Rebbe Meir Ditzeva. If you're going to claim that Rebbe Meir, who appears in the context of a dyer, D-Y-E-R, someone dyes fabric, that this is Rebbe Meir holding that one who changes is viewed as a thief, but we'll see later, the inverted triangle indicates no, this cannot be the source. But what's the attempt anyway? This not. Hanoisin semer letzabol letzvoy aloy. Adoim v'tzava shachar. Shachar v'tzava adoim. You gave wool to a dyer to dye for you. Either you asked him to dye it red and he dyed it black, or you ordered him to dye it black and he dyed it red, so he deviated from your instructions. Rebbe Meir Oimer, Noisei Lo, Demet Simro. Rebbe Meir says that the dyer must compensate the customer to the amount of the original value of the wool. Rashi explains on the second line from the top, Noisei Lo, Demet Simro, Bedomim, in money, shitzemer lavon nimkar b'shuk, the value that white, it's undyed wool is sold in the market. Why is that the approach of Rabbi Meir? The kanya begezeloi l'shalem shasa gzela. The dyer is viewed, and that's the thinking right now, of course, we'll change it later, but the thinking right now is that the dyer, through this act of change, which is the similar to an act of theft, he thereby acquires the wool, and he, as a thief, has to pay the value of it at the time of the theft, which is the demei tzimro, the white untreated wool. We continue in this source, but at this point we are really going to de-emphasize the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. We're focusing in our discussion on Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he has a different approach. He says, Im ha-shevach yeser al ha-yetziah. Rabbi Yehuda says that the dyer will give the dyed wool to the customer. I think we can assume that dyed wool is worth more than the undyed wool, regardless of what color it was. However, it wasn't according to the instructions. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Im ha-shevach yeser al ha-yetziah, if the increased value is greater than the expenses, then noisein lo es ha-yetziah, the customer will pay the mere expenses and get the dyed wool, though it's not the color he ordered. V'im ha-yetziah yeser al ha-shevach, if the expenses were greater than the improved value, then noisein lo es ha-shevach, the customer will give the dyer the value of the increased value of the wool. But once again, as far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, dyer keeps the wool, the dyed wool, and pays for the undyed original product, original material. Mimai, who says that classifying the dyer who changed from the instructions is that the ruling is a result of his being considered a thief. Dilma shiny hasam dekanya b'shinoi maisa. Maybe there it's different because he did an act whereby the original product was changed. That's called a shinoi maisa. In the case of the donkey, however, where you deviated from the owner's instructions, there was no shinoi maisa. There was no action that involved a change in the donkey itself. So, therefore, we wouldn't be able to conclude from Rabbi Meir's ruling by the wool that the change in instructions in the case of the donkey would also classify the customer as a thief. Ela ha Rabbi Meir, de magvas purim. Magvas means ligvos, means to collect. A money collection. What's Purim doing here? This relates to Purim money. Money that's given to the poor on Purim. There's no pun intended there with the word Purim and the poor, but one of the major mitzvahs of Purim is to give the poor money so that they can buy food for their Purim feast, Purim festivity, Sudas Purim. What does Rabbi Meir say in that context? So the source says, Magvas Purim lePurim, money that's collected by the officials, which are charity officials of the community, to distribute to the poor on Purim for Sudas Purim, is that money is given on Purim to the poor for that purpose. We're going to be reading in accordance with the Vilna Goin, the Hagoyis HaGroz suggestion. So we skip to the next line, Ve'ein medaktik in bedavar, and we're not to be too scrupulous and restrictive in how we distribute the money. By saying that he can do with less, and therefore use the extra money, the balance, for general charity purposes. Not so, but money that's collected for Purim, for the Purim food consumption of the poor, is to be distributed exclusively for that. and you distribute all of the money for that. We skip a few more lines. You can see where the brackets end. V'ein ha'oni rashoi likach mehen ritzua l'sandolo. Elim kein hisno b'maymet anshe'ir. Divrei Rabbi Yankiv she'omar bishum Rabbi Meir. And the poor man who receives this Purim money cannot use it for anything else other than Purim food. He can't use it even for buying a ritzua l'sandolo, a strap for his sandals, unless there was a specific stipulation made in the presence of the representatives of the community. That's b'maimed anshayir. A special stipulation would have to have been made regarding the Purim collection, that in the event that this man receives enough money for his Purim meals and there's extra money, he can use it for buying a strap for his shoe. Reb Shimon Gamliel Mekel. Reb Shimon Gamliel is more lenient. What's the point? We dashed underline Rabbi Meir, where you see that which is collected for a specific purpose cannot be changed, and using it for something else would be tantamount to theft. The Gemara rejects that. Dilma Hasam Nami. Maybe there it's different. It's different than the donkey case. Adaita de Purim to the Yoivle, Adaita de Midi Achrino lo Yoivle. The monies that were originally given by the townsfolk, they gave it only for Purim purposes. The money is not in the poor man's possession for any other purpose. Using it for any other purpose is as if it's still in the pocket of the original owner, the original donator of the money. Rashi says, "Adaita demidi achrina lo yoiv le, v'kevon delav adaita da'achi yoiv." The man who gave the money for Purim food and not for something else, nimsamois becheskes bailim. The money is then considered still in the original owner's possession. Chutz min hayoytzin besudas Purim, except for those monies that are used for buying Purim food. So the analysis by the Purim collection is restricted to that. It's not that analysis has no relevance to the case of someone who rented a donkey. Ella ha Rebbe Meir. Number 3. Ella ha Rebbe Meir. Desanya. Reb Shimon ben Elozer oime mishum Rebbe Meir. One who gives a dinar, a denomination of currency, to a poor man for the purpose of buying a choluk, an article of clothing, a specific article of clothing, a choluk, he should not buy a different article of clothing, a talis, or talis lo yikach bo choluk, or if you gave a dinar to the oni for the purpose of buying a talis, then he should not buy a choluk. Mitnei shemavir al daita shebal habayis, because doing otherwise, in other words, buying something other than the owner's desire, is a violation of the owner's will. And therefore, deviation from owner's will is like theft. The Gemara says, no, we can't derive from that as a general statement of Rabbi Meir that all deviation would be viewed as theft. V'dilma shiny hasam de'asu l'michshedei. There, we're especially concerned that the oni doesn't do other than the specified purpose of the original donator, because it could lead, the change on the part of the oni could lead to suspicion and doubt, beclouding the reputation of the one who gave the money. The Amri Inshi, people will come to say, Omar Planya, so-and-so said, Zavnino le levusho leploni anya velo zavale. so-and-so said that they were going to buy a type of clothing for the poor man, and he never bought it for him. Inami zavnino le glima velo zavan le. Or he said that he was, the so-and-so said he was going to buy a glima, an overcoat, a type of a outer clothing, and he never did so. Well, the problem is that the oni did not listen to the instructions of the owner, but people don't know that. People will simply think that the original donator didn't come through on his original pledge. The Gemara says, "In Cain, if that's the reason for Rabbi Meir in the source we just read, then listening mipnei hachashad, that should have been given as the reason for the restriction. But that's not what it says. Chashad means because of the suspicion that will be caused. But that's not what it says. My mipnei shemavi al daita shebalabayis, in the source, in the text itself, that is what you saw. The oni, the poor man, is restricted because he is in violation of the will of the owner. Shma mino, this shows us, mishum deshoni hu, the restriction is because of the prohibition of changing. The cholamavir aldas shel balabayis nikro gazlin, anyone who does deviate from the will of the owner is called a thief. And as far as the donkey is concerned, it was rented to you for let's say har use, for mountain use, and you took it into the bika, you violated the owner's desire, or his instructions, and the animal's death that results obligates the rest, the renter, the customer, under all circumstances to compensate, as we would require of a thief. Hasucher es hachamor v'hivrika, my v'hivrika. We saw in the Mishnah that example, that phenomenon of hivrika. What does it mean? So we have two explanations. Hacha targimu. Here it's explained as nehurisa. Nehurisa is technically it's a euphemism, because nehurisa means light or sight, but rather it means blindness. Rava Omar Avsikis. Avsikis is a reference to worms that developed in its feet. Either way, you rented a donkey to be a functioning animal, and as a result of either blindness or obsequies, you will find it somewhat restricted. The Mishnah, however, said that if either of these things occurs, if hivrika occurs, the owner can say to the customer, Haresha chavonecha, there it is, you use it as it is. The Gemara here relates a little incident, and you'll see the connection shortly. Hahu de Omar Lahu, there was someone that announced, that said, Avsikis bemilsa de Malka. There is Avsikis, which means some kind of creature. Rashi speaks about an ash. An ash in modern Hebrew is associated with moths. Moths actually start out as worms. So I saw Apsikis bemilsa de Malka. Milsa is a reference to, we'll say, fabric. That there were fabrics of the king were being destroyed because of the Apsikis. Omru le, they asked the person, Bemai, which fabrics? Betoli kesef o betoli zav. Toli kesef is a reference to linens. Toli zav is a reference, or a dahav. Dahav is like zav, but it's a reference to wool. Ika diamri, one version of the story is, Betoli kesef omar. He said, I saw the ash, worms in the tali kesef, in the linens. Well, linens are not affected, or they don't attract ash. So whoever was telling the story was lying. The katlu, and they they killed him. Ikar d'amri, another version of the story is that he said betoli dahav, that it was in the wool, Omar, and v'shavkua, and they let him go. The Mishnah said, you rented a donkey, and oshinasis angaria. Omer lo, the owner says, hare shelcha lefonecha. Before we go further, we glance at the side in the margin under the Nosei, the topic heading. Ha de katoni b'masnisin, that which it said in the Mishnah, nasis angaria. Omer lo, hare shelcha lefonecha, lo tomid kach. It's not, that is not always the case. Not always the case that the owner will be able to tell the customer, there's the donkey that I rented, take it as it is, even though it's been taken by the king's workforce. Lefi Rav, according to Rav, yesh lechalek, bein angaria chozeres leangaria she'ena chozeres. There are workforces that pass through town that do not come back. So they will have confiscated the donkey that you rented, and they're not coming back. That would be like the case of Mesa or Nishbara. And in a case of Mesa or Nishbara, so the Mesa means either the animal died or it broke its bones. There, the Mishnah said that the owner has to replace the rented donkey. Lefi Shmuel, according to Shmuel, yesh lechalik ben derech alichosa lelav derech alicha. There is a king's force that confiscates your donkey from you while you are en route to a specific location. But you and the king's force that confiscated are walking in the same direction. We'll see Rashi describes this at greater length, that the king's force, their practice was to confiscate people's goods and walk along till they reach a second destination, and there release what they took from the first destination and replace it with a new confiscation of things from the second destination, and they keep moving on till they reach a third destination, and the same thing happens again. So if you were going along in the same direction, so then as far as you're concerned, the angaria, the king's force confiscation, is really of a temporary nature, and there the owner can say hare shel chalafanecha. Not so if you're not going in their direction. Now the Gemara. Omar Rav, lo shanu, the Mishnah that says that the owner can say hare shel chalafanecha, here the animal I rented to you is there, I'm not replacing it, there, go take it. That ruling is ela bangaria chozeres. That's only with regard to a king's workforce confiscation, which will be coming back to your locale. Aval angaria shena chozeres, if they're on their way to wherever, and they're not coming back to town, that would be no different than the animal dying or breaking. Chayav v'hamid lo chamor. And the owner who rented to you the animal that was just confiscated would have to replace you with a new donkey. Ushmul Omar, bein angaria chozeres, bein angaria she'eno chozeres. Regardless of their nature, do they come back here or not come back here? Im b'derech halicha nitla, Omer lo harei shel chalofanecha. If it was confiscated from you while you were walking along in the same direction as the king's force, then the owner has no obligations toward you. V'im lav b'derech halichosa nitla, and if it wasn't taken under such circumstances, chayav lahamid lo chamor, then the owner has to replace the donkey that he rented to you. Meisvei. You'll note we have a long question ahead of us. We cite a source. We're calling this Roman numeral number 2. Maybe we'll dwell on the structure for just a moment before we read the Gemara. You'll notice in the second line of this source, the next line there's some dash underlining. We highlight the word agaria, and you see chayav lahamid lo chamor. Contrast this with the same type marking on the first wide line of the Gemara. You see a dashed underlined agaria and the ruling hare shelchol lefanecha. There's a difference. In the source that we're about to read, it says regarding agaria, chayav lahamid lo chamor. So now, let's go into the Gemara. Ha-secher sa-chamor v'hivrika. O she nishtatsa. One rented a donkey and it experienced hivrika. We saw before two explanations of that. Or she nishtatsa, the animal lost its mind. It became a shoita, crazy. O yimer lo, hare shelcha lefanecha. The owner can say, use it as it is. It still can be used. It's more difficult to use it under circumstances like that, but it still can be used as a beast of burden or something else. Mesa Aishanazis Angario Chayav Amid Lochamor. If the animal died or it was confiscated by the king's workforce, owner must replace. Now, this idea of the owner must replace, how are we to deal with that? Bishlamo l'Rav lo kasha. As far as Rav's approach to Angaria, there's no difficulty. There's no, no contradiction between this Tanaic source and our Mishnah. Kan b'Angaria chozeres, kan b'Angaria shena chozeres. The source of the Mishnah that we labeled as Roman numeral number 1, where the owner is off the hook. He says, Harei shalchol fanecha. There's your animal, take it. Namely, the animal I rented to you is there in front of you. Use it as it is. That's with regard to an Angaria Choseres. They're coming back to town. Source number 2 is Angaria Shen Choseres. You're not going to see them anymore. Ela Lishmuel Kasha. But according to Shmuel, there would seem to be the second Tanaic source that doesn't conform to our Mishnah. Kasha means that the sources 1 and 2 seem to be contradictory. You might say, well, according to Shmuel, there's also no difficulty. We can resolve them as in accordance with what Shmuel said earlier. Kan shebederach halichasa nitla, kan shelo bederach halichasa nitla. The Mishnah where the owner says, "Harei shelcha lefanecha," because it was taken from you while you were in en route in the same direction as the king's force. And source number 2, where the owner has to replace the rented animal, is shelo b'derech halichasa. That would seem to be a seemingly reasonable resolution. Not so. Ha midekotani seifa. From the fact that the continuation of source number 2 says, Reb Shimon ben Elazar omer, im b'derech halichasa nitla, omer loy harei shelcha lefanecha, v'im lav chayav lamid lo chamor. Well, we see a distinction, but that's Rav Shimon Elazar's approach. The Tanakama, though, the opinion that appeared before Rav Shimon Elazar, which was represented by what we had above, Roman numeral number 2, didn't make that distinction. So we have then a Tanaic source that presents a problem for Shmuel. The Gemara answers, Omar loch Shmuel, lav mi ika Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar dekoy kavasi. Is there not, in fact, Reb Shimon ben Elazar who makes the distinction that I mentioned earlier? The koy kavasi, he holds like me. Anodi amri, Reb Shimon Elazar, I said my opinion in accordance with this particular Tana. So I have a Tanaic authority that serves as my basis. Iboy Asema, another approach. Kula, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, he, the Chisur, Mechasar, Vahachikotani. The source that we read before, source number 2, is not a source that has a first part and a second part authored by two different Tanoim, but it's all authored by Rav Shimon Elazar. And it reads thusly: Hasurchas hachamor v'vriko shenishonishtates. Omer lo harei shelcha lefanecha. Mesa onish no shenasis angaria if it died or was confiscated by the king's workforce, chayav lahamid lo chamor, the owner must replace it. When do we say the owner must replace it? Shelo b'derech alichos nitla, where it was taken from you, where you were going in one direction and they were going in another. Avo nitla b'derech alichosa, omer lo, harei shelcha lefanecha. If it was confiscated from you in the same direction that you were going, the owner is not responsible to replace it. We continue at the top of the Ayin Tes. Divrei Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Shehoya Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, im bederach ilucha nitla, Omer lo harei shelcha lefanecha. Ve'im la, if it wasn't bederach ilucha, chayav lahamid lo chamor. So we have the source, and authored exclusively by one Tana, by Reb Shimon Elazar, and the distinction he makes regarding Angaria is what Shmuel, who was an Amora, later authority, was saying. Question. We have a long question marking here. Umi matzis mukmis lo, k'Reb Shimon Elazar. But can you take that source and set it up like Reb Shimon ben Elazar to say he's the author of it? V'halkatoni reisha. The first part of that source said, ha'socher es ha'chamor v'hivrika, you hired an animal, you rented an animal and it experienced hivrika or insanity. Omer lo hare shelchal lefanecha. That, by the way, we saw that was the reisha that was quoted already. We already saw it twice on the bottom of Amid of Ayin Ches Amid Beis. V'ilu Reb Shimon Elazar Omar, but we know that Reb Shimon Elazar says, "Hasoicher zechamor lukei v'lev ivrika oshinishtatsa." One who hired, rented a donkey for riding, and it experienced a ivrika or insanity, chayov lahamid lo chamor. Well, he says that the owner has to replace it. The source, though, that we were studying before, said in the case of Hivrika, Hareshel Chalafanecha, take it as it is. Here, Reb Shimon Elazar himself says something else. Owner has to replace it. Omar Rabba Bar Avuna. There is really no problem. We can maintain the original source with its Resha and Seifa, including Hivrika and Hareshel Chalafanecha, as authored by Reb Shimon Elazar. Why over here do we see him quoted as saying that the owner has to replace it? Lirkei v'leo shiny. Because in this last quote, we have a dot underlined under the word lirkov, where you rented it for a specific purpose, not as a beast of burden, but rather to ride on it. That's different. Rashi explains on the top line, lirkei shiny, riding is different. Shemo tipo tachto begesher, if you're riding on the animal and it's either blind or it became insane, you might find yourself tossed off a bridge, or the animal might walk off a bridge and you'll fall with it, or it'll walk into some kind of pit. So for riding purposes, where you the hivrika or shenishtatsa state would be a particular source of imminent danger to you, there you can insist on a replacement animal. Omar Rav Papa, kli zechuches kilirkev ole adomi. If you, let us say, rented the animal for transport of glass, that is, since glass is very delicate, it's very the slightest say falling will cause that load to break, we treat it with the same standard as one who rents an animal for riding purposes. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.